So thankful that you're able to be here this morning to worship God with us. It is a tremendous blessing. Invite you to be with us on Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock as well as we study through the Bible. And we've been studying the first five books of the Old Testament that were written by Moses. And that ties in with the lesson that I want us to talk about this morning. Jesus is rebuking in John chapter 5 the religious leaders who are claiming to follow Moses, but they are rejecting him as Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus states that if they truly understood and believed the writings of Moses, they would believe in him, that he is the Son of God, because Moses wrote about him. And in John chapter 5, verses 46 and 47, Jesus says to them, "For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" Jesus is saying that if you believe one, you must believe the other. If you don't believe one, you're not going to believe the other. There's nothing in between. If you believe Moses, if you truly understand his writings, you will know that he wrote about me. But if you reject his writings, if you do not believe his writings, then you're not going to believe my words. But think about the fact that Moses wrote about Jesus. In Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, he wrote about Jesus. One of my favorite sections in our study on Wednesday nights is how this relates to Jesus Christ that is written in these books of Moses. So how did Moses write about Jesus? Well, at times we see that he used foreshadowing and types. The Passover lamb that we studied in Exodus chapter 12, the blood of an unblemished lamb saved Israel's firstborn children from death at that 10th and final plague put on Egypt. And this really is a reflection of what Jesus has done for us as the ultimate Lamb of God, the sacrifice for our sins. In Numbers chapter 21, we read about the bronze serpent. In that text, Moses lifted up a bronze serpent that was on a pole so the people could look at it and live and not die because of the poisonous snake bites. Jesus applied this directly in the New Testament in John chapter 3 when he was talking and he compared this to his own crucifixion, being lifted up on the cross, and how if people would look to him, and he said he would draw all people to himself, that they would be saved from their sins. The rock in the wilderness in Exodus 17, the rock struck by Moses, it poured out life-giving water. Jesus, we see, was later compared to this as a type, as the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, that Jesus is a type of this that was talked about, that rock being struck that pours out life-giving water. And finally, the manna in Exodus 16, the bread from heaven that sustained the people as they were in the wilderness for so long. Jesus, that's a symbol of himself as the true bread of life. Several times in John chapter 6, when Jesus fed the 5,000, he teaches them that I am the bread of life. So Moses at times was writing using foreshadowing and types, but sometimes direct prophecies. The earliest one that we read of in Scripture, we don't have to read very far in the third chapter of Genesis. In chapter 3 and verse 15, Moses wrote of an offspring of the woman who would crush the head of the serpent. In Numbers chapter 24 and verse 17, we read about the star and the scepter of Jacob. That Mesopotamian prophet Balaam, we see who the king of Moab hired to curse the Israelites, spoke by inspiration of God of the future ruler that would rise up out of Israel. He spoke prophetically of the eternal dominion of Jesus Christ. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 19, is a direct messianic prophecy given by Moses that points exclusively to the prophet Jesus Christ. He's the ultimate prophet like Moses, whom God raised up from among the Jewish people. In fact, that's what I want us to focus on. Think about this passage in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 19. Let's read that together. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear according to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire anymore, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up from them a prophet like you from among the brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. Moses is concerned as this younger generation is going to be entering into the promised land, who they will allow to influence them spiritually. He's warned them about prophets who perform signs and then pressure them to serve other gods. And the substance of this promise is that God will continue to provide the approved methods to communicate his will to his people, so they don't need to seek alternative or unauthorized ways. They need to seek God's will in this. Some key points from Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 through 19. It is a promise. There will be a prophet, capital P, that will rise up from among you, where we see in verse 15. That's the promise that God made through Moses to the people of Israel. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me, like Moses, from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. He is the one that you listen to. You see the authority in verse 18 that God says that he will put his words in the mouth of this prophet. And he will speak to the people all that the Father commands him. But this promise, this authority comes with a warning on it. A strict accountability is attached to this promise that whoever will not listen to this specific prophet that's like Moses will be required to give an account. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 19. So the consequences of rejection will eventually, not maybe immediately, but will eventually be realized. There's consequences. There's a promise in Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 19. We see the authority will be speaking the words of God that he puts in this prophet's mouth. And we see the warning that we must obey this prophet. Notice that the passage says that he will be a prophet like Moses. In what way is Jesus Christ a prophet like Moses? Well, both were deliverers. We know that Moses delivered the Israelites from Egyptian bondage. They had been in Egyptian bondage for 400 years, and Moses, through God's power, led them out of that slavery. Jesus offers us deliverance from the servanthood, the slavery, the bondage of sin. Romans chapter 6 says that very vividly, that Jesus, and I appreciate that prayer and the newness of life, Antonio, I love that expression, the newness of life that he offers, free from sin, no longer in bondage to it. So Jesus is the ultimate deliverer. What about lawgiver? Well, we read the law of Moses. It's in the Old Testament, in those books that he wrote. He's considered, Jesus called him, the lawgiver. The law of Moses, as it's referred to, the Old Testament. What about Jesus? How is he a lawgiver? Well, read Hebrews. Without the death of the testator, there would not be a new covenant. But Jesus went to the cross and he shed his blood and he brought in a new covenant. He is a lawgiver. Mediators, both of them were mediators. Both stood between God and the people, making intercession as leaders. So he is the prophet like Moses. We see it very clearly explained in the New Testament that Jesus is the fulfillment of this prophecy made in Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 19. The voice from heaven in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5 at the transfiguration, God the Father echoes, we see, the prophecy given in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15 by saying, that voice from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. Listen to him. But even more clearly, as Brother Gordon read to us from Acts chapter 3, we see that the Apostle Peter, as he's preaching on Solomon's porch in Jerusalem, that he quotes the exact passage from Deuteronomy 18 and applies it directly to Jesus Christ. We can clearly see this and understand that Jesus is the fulfillment of this prophecy in Deuteronomy 18, that he is a prophet like Moses. He is both Jesus, he is the Messiah. We need to listen to the prophet. And in Acts chapter 7, another review of Old Testament history, Stephen in his sermon or his defense, as we sometimes refer to it, in Acts chapter 7 and verse 37, Stephen references Moses' prophecy of the coming prophet just before he was stoned, pointing to Jesus as the fulfillment. Unfortunately, Stephen preaches the truth, but we see that he stirs up the emotions of the people in a bad way, unlike in Acts 2, that those 3,000 that were cut to the heart wanted to know what they needed to do to make that right, to be saved. We see that these in Acts 7, before Stephen and hearing his teaching, when he led to the point of Jesus Christ, showing that he is the prophet who Moses talked about, that would be like Moses, that would come up from them, we see that they stoned Stephen. By the time of Jesus, we see the Jews were searching for the Messiah. They were looking for the prophet. Look in John chapter 1. In John chapter 1 and verse 21, John the Baptist had been teaching, and the audience asked John the Baptist, "Are you the prophet?" Capital P. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. He was not the Messiah. He was not the Christ. He was simply preparing the way for him. He must decrease. Jesus must increase. In John chapter 7 and verse 40, therefore many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, truly this is the prophet. Jesus Christ is the prophet that would rise up like Moses. We hear in the words of Jesus, the direct statements of the Father. He is teaching the words that the Father put in his mouth, his will be done and not ours. And his expectation is for us to be obedient. God expects faithfulness to the prophetic words of the true prophets. I love the opening of the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 1, the first four verses, here's how this letter opens up. God, who at various times in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. God speaks to us through his Son, the prophet like Moses, Jesus Christ. He's the one that's been given all authority. His word is authoritative. We need to follow, we need to live by, we need to worship by the words that Jesus has taught us in the New Testament scriptures. We're going to be accountable to him. Unfortunately, Jesus oftentimes talks about how the people had persecuted the prophets. In his great Sermon on the Mount, early in that sermon, he says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake." Don't think that you're the first ones to be persecuted. They persecuted the prophets time and time again before you. Jesus talks about later in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37 how many times he sent the prophets to them and they ended up killing the prophets. He said all he wanted to do was be like a hen and gather his chicks up under the wings and take care of them and to save them, but they were not willing. We're going to be accountable, friends, for how we've received the words of the prophet. And listen to this promise later in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. "And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation." But to who? "To all who obey him." Will you not submit to the words of the prophet like Moses? As Moses spoke to the people in Deuteronomy 18, he said, "There's going to be a prophet like me that rises up from you. And you are going to be accountable as to whether or not you heed to those words." Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that. He is the prophet like Moses. We need to submit to his authority. We need to be obedient to his word. We're promised, if we do, and he's the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. If you're not a child of God this morning, heed what the word of God says in the New Testament, the new covenant that Jesus brought into existence, the lawgiver, this new covenant by the shedding of his blood, by his death. He brought it in. And we're told that we need to hear the word of God and believe it. And we need to repent of our sins, or Jesus and John the Baptist taught before him, we will perish if we don't repent. And now those on the day of Pentecost were told to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you believe the writings of Moses, believe that Jesus is the prophet, believe he is the Son of God, be willing to confess that this morning and be baptized into his blood, having your sins washed away. If you've already done that and you need to repent, whatever your need is spiritually, come while together we stand and sing.